At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A federal agency is opening an investigation into Plano-based Rent-A-Center and the $8 billion rent-to-own industry. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau sent Rent-A-Center a civil investigative demand requesting details about customer accounts it had sold to a debt buyer and other information about its business practices. This comes after the Texas Tribune and the consumer finance website NerdWallet found rent-to-own companies used a little-known Texas law to press criminal charges against customers who fall behind in their payments. Customers nationwide have also complained their credit had been harmed and they were badgered by bill collectors over accounts they had paid off. The CFPB declined to comment on its investigation. The Dallas police chief has temporarily dismantled the department's vice unit after discovering what she called serious issues. Renee Hall has not gone into details on what led her decision to overhaul the vice unit, which oversees prostitution and gambling investigations. The unit's 20 specialized officers will be reassigned, and its investigations will fall to other units. Hall has also hired members of the International Association of Chiefs of Police to conduct an impartial analysis of the vice unit. Now to our Friday conversation. Horrific events like the church shootings in Sutherland Springs emphasizes the importance of Pete Blair's work. He runs a program at Texas State University called ALERT. That's Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training. It trains law officers from across the country how to respond to active shooters. KERA's Rick Holter caught up with him by Skype from San Marcos.
What's the first piece of advice you give officers in your training?
The first thing we want officers to understand are what the priorities are during an event. There are a lot of things happening at once and a lot of possible things competing for their attention. But the first issue that we want them to focus on is what we call stop the killing. The officer's primary task is to go to that shooter to isolate, distract, and neutralize that person. So, for example, we teach them if they see people that are down on the ground wounded, rather than stopping to help the wounded, they bypass the wounded to go after the shooter. Then the second phase is what we call stop the dying, where people have been shot and they need medical assistance. And we want to get that medical assistance to them as quickly as possible.
We've seen the death tolls in these mass killing events escalate. 49 in Orlando, 58 in Las Vegas, now 26 in Sutherland Springs. How does that change the way you train officers to respond?
It doesn't change the basic priorities. What we see is there's a lot of variety in these events, and in some there are relatively few people that are injured or killed, and in others there are a lot of people that are injured or killed. And so their response just kind of has to scale up based upon what they're facing at the time.
You mostly train law officers how to respond. What's the most important thing a civilian should know about preparing for or reacting to an active shooter?
Really, the first thing we teach is that it starts with awareness that this type of thing could happen. And then pay attention to your surroundings. And if you feel that something is wrong or starting to go wrong, you need to start taking action immediately to protect yourself. And the actions that we recommend are to first avoid the attacker, if you can do that. If for some reason you can't avoid the attacker, you're in an office building or in your office and you hear gunfire in the hallway, you're worried if you go out there, you might be shot. The next best step is to deny access to your location, keep them from getting to you. So closing, locking the doors, that sort of thing. And as a last resort is if you find yourself in close proximity to that attacker, the best thing to do is try to defend yourself, try to keep them from killing you.
Kids in school do active shooter drills now. The advice is pretty much built around lockdowns. Do you think that works?
That's an effective strategy overall. We see that active shooters rarely, really haven't breached locked doors in the United States because they know they're on a clock and they don't have time to work on the door to get it open, so they tend to move along. So overall, that works okay. That strategy by itself doesn't address what people should do if the shooting starts in the cafeteria and you're in the cafeteria, for example, in which case getting away from the attacker is a better choice. So what we try to talk to everybody about is that having a one-size-fits-all option just isn't going to work. These events are too varied. And so what we do instead is try to get them to understand that, you know, here are three general options, and then you have to match that option to the place that you're in.
I wonder how much your business has changed since you started training law officers.
Attackers are trying to learn from previous attacks so that they can cause more damage and more chaos. And as we adopt our tactics, they adapt their tactics. And we're in a constantly changing environment because of that. And on top of the, you know, your homegrown type shooters like you saw this last weekend, you also have these terrorist organizations that are out there publishing their own really kind of manuals and suggestions on how to launch attacks, how to maximize casualties, types of attacks that are good, types of attacks that are not as good. And then even in their call them a trade magazine, you'll find that they'll post after action reports of here's an attack that somebody did, here's what they did well, here's what they did poorly, and they're trying to improve. Just like we're here at our conference this week, we're having places that have had attacks occur give debriefs about what they did well and what didn't go well and how to improve in the future. And so there's a constantly changing environment.
Now, you're just down the road from where the shooter lived in New Braunfels and about an hour from the church in Sutherland Springs. How are your friends, people in your neighborhood reacting?
It's pretty devastating. There's a lot of concern. A lot of the law enforcement who responded to the event are from Bexar County in the San Antonio area, mm-hmm. where our program has a lot of people that both teach for us and are friends of ours. And so we know that these situations are traumatic not only to the community and the victims, but also to the first responders.
Pete Blair of Texas State University, who trains law officers across the country how to react to active shooter situations. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on.
And finally, weekend traffic warning. Beginning tomorrow, U.S. 75 will be closed in both directions in parts of Richardson and Plano. The closure is required for the partial demolition of the Plano Parkway Bridge. The closures will run just south of Renner Road to 15th Street. That includes the entrance and exit ramps for President George Bush Turnpike. Traffic will be directed to frontage roads. Closures begin tomorrow morning at 3 and run until Monday morning at 5. Should be sunny skies in store for us later this afternoon with a high near 63. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 48. Tomorrow, cloudy with a slightly warmer high. Actually, the same high around 63. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, low around 57.